Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce Podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
My church, hallelujah. It's testimony time. We have two amazing testimonies this morning. Help me welcome Jeremy Cartagena, even as he brings his testimony. The louder your clap, the quicker your testimony. Wow. Please, your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Jeremy. I'm from the Rose of Sharon Council.
Wow!
And the proud member of the 100 Voices Choir.
Oh, yes. Jeremy, tell us what the Lord has done for you this morning.
My testimony is about how I was able to receive a new phone as a result of the celebration convention.
You are sitting down as if you don't want to change your phone. Hey, you are using techno. You are sitting down. Rise to your feet. And give the Lord a mighty shout of praise. Come on, Jeremy, tell us how it came about.
So, basically, the day after the celebration convention, it was a Sunday, and I was in church, I was in a meeting.
Okay.
And then...
Wait, after the celebration convention?
Yes.
How many of you remember during the convention, Bishop Noble said he's releasing different gadgets, phones and laptops? Wonderful. You remember?
So I was in a meeting upstairs.
Okay.
My phone just dropped and it just stopped working.
Oh.
Yeah.
Your phone just dropped.
And it stopped
working. Tell anybody, I dropped, I am. And it stopped working.
Yes. And it was particularly a difficult period for me because we were leading up to other Sunday.
Okay.
So it was difficult. I mean, without a phone, I wasn't able to communicate to my members and my leaders on the activities going
Mercy.
On. And I didn't want to mention it to my father as well because he was in Kumasi a few days prior.
Okay.
And he had just wired me something. I was like, if I mention this thing, Charlie, I'll be hot, man. So let me not mention it. So initially, I was communicating my mom through my laptop and I told her about it. She said that, oh, she'll get back to me.
Okay.
And the next day, my father, he communicated with me. And I thought that, Charlie, he was going to pour some heat on my head. But he was like, oh, I heard that your phone, something happened and whatever. He said, oh, he'll get back to me. So I didn't think you would like get back to me, cry. Like,
how many of you are expecting I'll get back to you? I'll get back to you. Your miracle is on the way. This place is a house of miracles. So when you are coming, you must come with great faith. And yeah, he got back to you.
So the very next day, he told me that on the laptop when I was texting, he said that I should put my phone in a friend's, like my SIM in a friend's phone, so that he can send me the money for the phone.
Wow.
So I received the full amount for the phone.
The full amount.
That
The full amount.
The very next
May day. The Lord send you the miracle you're expecting for. All those whose phones are like at this, like raise it. Ah, I see the Lord changing your phone this morning. Come on, give the Lord a mighty shout of praise.
And that very same day, my mother too also sent.
Come on, a double blessing. Ah, me and nothing said. Come on.
And that's normal. I remember Bishop Nobosin, he was praying for us, and he mentioned that he's praying for any relative abroad to start making some transactions on our behalf.
Okay.
So after I had bought the new phone and everything, my aunt in UK texted me.
Your aunt in UK?
She texted me. And she said, oh, I heard that something happened with your phone. And she was even willing to send somebody from the UK to bring me a new phone.
You are joking.
But so I told her that, oh, it's okay. I got the new phone, so it's fine.
Tell your neighbor the blessing go loud. It go worry the neighbors.
She was like, oh, okay. But she said, oh, let me send you something for your troubles. So she
had
sent me something that very same thing.
May you receive something for your troubles. May something be sent to you to comfort you in your troubled days. So what do you like to tell the church?
I like to encourage the church. We all know the verse in Revelation chapter 12 that says that, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So for the very fact that testimony is being mentioned in the same vein as the blood of Christ, tells you the kind of power that a testimony has.
Wow.
So irrespective of how little or small you think your testimony is, you don't know somebody in the congregation who will be uplifted and their faith will be strengthened by the testimony you are sharing.
So let's give it up for Jeremy.
Always.
Amen. He's a governor. Yeah, this church, we learn the word of God. We have another amazing testimony in the house. Help me welcome Joel Bona, even as he brings us this testimony. Oh, yes. Wow. Please, your name and where you are calling from.
Hi, everyone.
Come close.
I'm Joel Bona from the Jesus is the answer.
Wow. Tell me about that pressure.
I'm proud member of the social media person.
Wow, a proud member. Please tell us what the Lord has done for you.
So, my laptop got spoiled and God replaced it.
Tell anybody that.
So, I mean, because of my work and then my basanta also, I definitely need the laptop. And during the celebration convention also.
Hey, during the celebration convention again. Tell neighbor that I never miss a convention in this house.
I was believing God for a laptop.
You were believing God for a laptop.
So, Bishop Noblesen kept saying that someone is receiving a new MacBook.
Is that somebody is receiving a new what?
New MacBook.
Not HP. Not Dell. A new MacBook. How many of you want a MacBook in this house? May the Lord make the prophecy come to pass in your life.
So, the Good Friday service.
Okay.
The Good Friday itself in the morning. My laptop just stopped working. Just abruptly. And then just an hour after, my uncle just called me. Like, he was asking for something. And I told him that, my laptop just paused. And he was like, someone came to show him a laptop, a MacBook.
Hey! you don't understand the testimony. That's why you are sitting down. Your laptop got spoiled. Your uncle called you.
Yes.
That somebody just came to show him a MacBook.
Yes. Uh-huh. He's having a laptop, so he doesn't want it. But
he doesn't know what to do with it. But
so do I like it? I was like, my
MacBook. Hey! Do you like it?
Yeah, I like it. I need it because my MacBook, my PC just spoiled right
May
now.
May the Lord send you an instant miracle. I said, this is a house of miracles. Tell neighbor that this is the house of miracles.
Yeah. So the PC spot on Friday.
Hey.
And then just the next day, that Saturday, he sent me a receipt that he has sent to VIP.
Oh, you are
joking. That was just in the next day night was coming, and then by Sunday I had it.
I think it's a good place to put your hands together for the Lord. Your laptop got spot
Friday.
Saturday, you got a receipt. Sunday you had received the laptop. Yeah. Receive your instant miracle. How many of you want instant? Some of you need instant CWA rising. You are sitting down. Yeah. Even as you have lifted up your hand, the Lord is sending you an increase.
Amen.
Joel, what would you like to tell the church?
Yeah, I want to tell the church that you are in a very blessed church, a very powerful church. And our mother thinks of us so much that she sends powerful people to come and bless us.
Oh, yes.
At the time where we need them.
Yes.
So be planted in the church and then your blessing will find
you. Oh, I think it's a good place and a wonderful place to put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We've gotten to the most important part of the service. And that is why this is the point we rise to our feet as a church. Because this morning we have been blessed. We are in a blessed church and we've been blessed with one of the best pastors in the world. I tell you, you will not get it anywhere in the world. This morning, we have been honored by the Lord to bring us his anointed vessel with clap and shouts of joy. Help me welcome our mother, our pastor, E.S. Joy, Philip Bruce.
Yeah. Father, we are grateful. Thank you for bringing us to church today. Thank you for your grace and mercy that is with us. I pray, Lord, that as your word comes, you speak to us, that we'll hear it in our spirit. And Lord, may we never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Wow. It's a very, very nice Sunday. Amen. I can see that many of our members are still sleeping somewhere. So you better take out your phone, give them a text, tell them, listen, service is on. Preaching has started. These days, we don't wait for them to come. Yay, mercy. Hallelujah. Just one or two announcements before I start sharing the word. This morning, I'm very excited to welcome into this service the Abundant Life Students Fellowship. Amen. Let me tell you who they are before you start clapping plenty. We have worshiping with us from KNUST-SHS. Students who worship, they have their pastor, Lady Reverend Yvonne pastors them. They are here this morning. Just stand to your feet so we can welcome you properly. Stand to your feet so we can come and give them a clap. And you are so welcome. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. And Lady Rev is, she's assisted by Anne Samuela and Gloria and Georgina. So God bless you all so much for the hard work. Amen. And we're happy to have you with us. And today we'll pray for your exams. You will not fail your WASI by the grace. And you will do well and you will get the school that you are deciding to go, the campus you want to go, by the grace of God, you will get it. So at the right time, we're going to be praying with you. Amen and amen. Powerful. Some people are saying, I am, but you're not welcome us like that. Ah. Ask your neighbor, why are you bored? What's your problem? Well, you are welcome to our Cups and Sneakers Sunday. Amen. And we say, Cups and Sneakers, what is that? You see, look, we just make ourselves happy. That's all. Tell neighbor, it's not anything. If you have a cup, it's great. You don't have a cup too, it's still great. We just make ourselves happy. Are you there? Yeah, so if you don't have a cup, don't worry. There are others like you. Me, I didn't have a cup until yesterday. Oh, somebody had mercy on me. Forgive. Amen. A few other announcements. This Tuesday, we have our God Lovers service. God Lovers service. It's a great place to be. Amen. And God is meeting us in that service, and we are changing. So it's a service for anybody. You just want to know something more about the Lord, be there. Amen. Then we also have, I need to make one other announcement. This should have been our last service for the semester, but I'm going to ask those of you who can be around till next week, please be around. Amen? Please be around so that we will end in one, it's something caught me unawares. If you remember last week, I announced that on the 26th of this month, we'll be having the Healing Jesus Sunday with Bishop Dag, and I feel that we should just do it, you know, so try and be here. Amen. So if you're not in a hurry to go home, and if you're in a hurry, cry, it won't kill you to spend a few days. Ask your neighbor, you cry when you go home, what are you going to do? Area boys, and area girls, please. So try and just hang on a little more, and let's just have one Sunday with all the campus together before you go. Amen. Is that all right? Oh, is it okay? Beautiful. Then I want you to keep three dates in mind. The first one is the 29th of May. On the 29th of May, we're going to have a special worship concert here. And this concert has one of our main people. He's actually a member of the Word Encounter service. Yeah. And Russell is going to be here. And he's going to take us down the worship lane. Tell your neighbor, down the worship lane. Amen. And so we have dubbed that concert the Secret Place. Come expecting that you'll be ushered into the secret place of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you there? Some people are wondering, what's the secret place? You don't read your Bible, you would have known. Amen. Then we have Sounds on Joy of Joy. Amen. The 31st of July, we're having it, and we're going to have some, usually I'm the preacher of that crusade, but for the first time ever, we're going to have a visiting preacher, Pastor Isobanda, coming to us all the way from Malawi. And he's going to be the preacher of the Sounds of Joy campaign. So let's keep it in mind. Amen. Oh, are you there? And then we have our first love conference from the 8th to the 12th of August. Many dates, but just put them down. You know, I was telling somebody last week that the way the year is going, I don't even understand. Do you understand? April just started, though. It's as if when you sleep, no, then the month has ended. You close your eyes. No. Some people are saying, these exams, I can't. I'll die. You are here. The exam is over. It's 1 week to go. Just like that. The time is just running like that. So put the dates down so that we are able to follow. Good. Amen. Well, you are welcome back to another edition on backsliding. Backsliding. Hey. Tell me, but what a message. Backsliding. What a message. What a message. Backsliding. To slide backwards. To slide backwards instead of going forwards. Just like this car is doing. Do you remember this one? Some people saw it last week, some didn't. Yes. The man has removed his foot from the accelerator to change his gear, and before he can do it, all the way back. It's a very dangerous thing. Here, you don't see it, but sometimes you are on the road and you see an articulator turned over, and it's from this. He's going, then he can't go. He takes his foot off, and suddenly he's sliding back, and before he knows it, he's in the ditch somewhere. Hey, are you there? But this week, somebody gave me an interesting definition of backsliding. Do you want to hear it? You really want to hear it? He said, when your past is better than your present. Hey, when your what? Your past. So you used to pray more than you do now. You used to sing, but you don't anymore. You used to do something in church, but you don't anymore. That's backsliding. Hey, are you there? When I saw it, I started to repent because I could think of a number of things that I used to do that. I can see from some people's smiles that you now you are remembering some things. Please, I'm not talking about evil things. I'm talking about good things that you used to do. Spiritual things that you used to do. You used to have your quiet time every day. Some of you, since you came to campus, God, he doesn't even know you again. Hey. Tell your neighbor, mercy, 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 mercy. Mercy, mercy. So that's why we are preaching. The word of God is shared so that we change. Oh, it's not for entertainment. Because, you know, Ghanaians, we like entertainment. And we don't mind if it's in church. Yeah, we don't mind. There are some countries you can't even do it in church. I mean, there's nothing. But at least you can't. But the word is not for entertainment. It's for you to think about seriously. Amen. Anyway. To slide backwards. Please, give me the definition of backsliding. To slide backwards instead of going forwards in your relationship with God. Amen? To slide backwards instead of going forward in your relationship with God. Now, as a believer in Christ, you may be strong today, but it's not a guarantee that tomorrow you are going to be strong. There's no such guarantee. And that's why you need to be aware of backsliding. Are you there? Many, many, many people, when they are in school, they are spiritual. Because there's a routine. As soon as they finish school, that's it. Yeah, so usually I reserve my respect until you finish school. Because right now, dear, you know, are you there? So if even right now you're already backsliding, I don't know what is left of you. By the time life catches up with you, I have no idea what is left with you. Do you remember last week, we even looked at some of the things in life that will challenge you, the cares of the world, the things that will challenge your Christianity, you see. Now, so in your relationship with God, you need to make up your mind that you are going to finish. You cannot just be a Christian today and then tomorrow you are something else. And I watch and I notice, for instance, that many young people, you are there. When someone ill wind comes, no, you can't take it. Then you have fallen away. What was the point? What's the point? Tell your neighbor, I've got to finish this race. Each one of us, everybody, you are on a certain path in your life. And it has a beginning and it has an end. And if you are in church today, it either means that you have met God already or you are meeting him today. Now, from today, as you are moving, determine that you are going to finish. Somebody who finishes is very different from somebody who doesn't finish. There are people who have come to campus, they didn't finish. Of what use is it? Young people, you say, I'm going to school, I won't go again. What's wrong with you? Ask your neighbor, what's wrong with you? Today I'm into storytelling. Tell your neighbor we are into storytelling. Now, there was a certain guy called Matthew Webb. He was the first person to cross the English Channel. You see, between England and France, there's a bit of water. And if you can swim across it, Charlie, you are a person. So he was the first person. I'm showing you that what you start with doesn't mean that that's what you end with. So this guy started. He was somebody who was known for crossing the English Channel. And everybody respected him because the waters of the English Channel are such that few make it. If more people could swim across, you can be sure that we would have found a way across. But more people just drown. Are you in the church?
Yes.
So the English, it has very strong undercurrents. So many people and ordinary swimmers cannot make it. But this guy, he was able to go in and cross. And it made him famous. So he was famous for a while. Then he said, let me go and look for some other waters. Let me go and look for what? And if I'm able to cross it, I'll be even more famous. So he decided that he is going to tackle Niagara Falls. Tell your neighbor that English Channel is one thing, Niagara Falls is another one. Are you there? So when he went, he was told that, listen, there's a certain point here. Nobody goes beyond it. And he thought that, oh, you people, you have not heard of me. I'm the one who crossed the English Channel. I'll be the guy. I'll be able to cross it. In fact, they even named that place Redemption Point. Yes, that's what they are showing you. See that it is marked. Can you see that mark there? Don't worry. Tell your neighbor, one day we'll have our large screens. They are coming. Yeah. But it's like when you are in the water, when you get to this point, don't cross. He said, I be I. He crossed. They picked up his body at the base, at the bottom of the stream. He died. He was no longer famous. You see, he should have just been happy with whatever they had told him. But yeah. And I'm sharing this with you to say to you that, Charlie, the fact that you are in God today does not mean that you'll be in God tomorrow. So don't be too, what's the word? Don't be too sure of yourself. Amen. Now, in our Christian walk, however, I need to say to you that you must finish. Tell your neighbor, you must finish. You must finish. You must finish. You must finish. It's not always that you will be first, though, but you must finish. And a person who finishes, it's very different from a person who doesn't finish. Today, I get calls from family members when we're in school. You say you won't go again. You said you won't go again. Now, today, as we are all getting older, you are now calling that you need money from somewhere. My husband has a classmate like that. And I mean, his class must keep him alive. What is that? I said by neighbor, said, don't call me. If you go to, don't call me that 20 years from now, don't call me that I should send you school fees for your child. Don't call me. Don't call me. Yeah. Because you have an opportunity to do something and to be something. You have an opportunity to go to school, and some of you are fooling. I don't know who you are anyway. But you are fooling with it. And it's people who fool with it. You are the ones 25 years down the line, then you'll be calling your friend. Any coins? Someday your boys are here. Your boys are here. Charlie, I day. How? Tell neighbor, don't be sending calls that I day. Today you are in church. Listen to what is being said. Listen. Am I talking to somebody this morning? You need to finish the race. You see, in this life, some of you have already experienced that life is not so simple. Yeah. You have fallen down once. You have been wounded once. Things haven't gone as you thought. You have prayed for something. It hasn't come. You are wondering that, what is it? Let me just tell you something. It is called life. That's how life is. When life pushes you down, you get up. You clean yourself off and you continue. It's not a reason to stop. Push your neighbor right now. Say, neighbor, I'm not stopping. I'm not stopping. I'm not stopping. You may be struggling. You may be limping. You may be wounded. Your heart is broken. But don't stop. The mistake people make when you see somebody on the stage, you think that we are on the stage because everything is okay. Tell your neighbor, everything is not okay. It's not okay. But we have decided that this is God who we have believed in. And he's the one that we are following. And no matter what is going on, we are on it with him. Amen. I want to show you a video this morning. I told you I came to tell stories. Now, this is a video of a man called John Stephen Akwari. He's a Tanzanian. I want you to watch. Now, this guy, he was a marathon runner. And he flew all the way from Tanzania, 5,000 miles. And he went to run the marathon. Now, when they are running these marathons, how many of you have ever watched a marathon before, at least the beginning? Have you noticed that there are a lot? This particular marathon, there were 75 of them. And when they started, you see, in the beginning, they jostle for place. Like, it's not like these kind of 100 meters, everybody has their lane. So you sort of struggle for their place. So in that struggle, no, he fell. So when he fell down, he injured his knee. He injured his shoulder. It was actually bleeding. So they had to even bind it. Are you there? So the assumption is that, oh, say you are wounded. What do you do? Is it your fault? Have you done anything wrong? So the thinking is that, oh, then you should quit. So, but the man didn't quit. The man didn't quit. He kept running. So the race was over. He was in pain, but he kept running. Some of you, your mother has died, but keep running. Your father has passed, keep running. Things are not easy, keep running. The race ended. They shared the medals. He kept running. When he couldn't run, he limped. 1.5 hours after the end. Yeah. They had even shared the awards already. The guy is still running. The guy is what? Still running. They are just showing you the story. Are you there? 18 out of 75 people quit. They stopped running. But this man kept going. Evening was falling. But he kept running. Oh yes. This is the winner. He has already come. He has chopped it. He has collected his medal. The race has even ended. And our guy enters the stadium. He's 1.5 hours late. But he's still on it. He's still on it. By this time, the crowd is gone. But there are a few people who know that one more person is coming. And they are waiting for him. And finally, he enters. Wounded. Limping. But still running. Still moving forward. 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 He's getting to the end. There's no crowd cheering, but he has finished his race. Maybe you will not remember much of the preaching, but I want you to remember John Stephen Akwari. You can see that he was wounded. This life that we are in, wounded, we are. Things have happened. Are you in the church? You failed an exam that you didn't expect to fail. For those of us who are married, we've lost, miscarried, lost a baby that you didn't expect. Buried family members, and you say, is there no God? It's a stupid question. It's a very, very stupid question. God, why did you let my mother die? Are you the decider of the date your mother should quit? Do you know her exit date? Do you know yours? We pray, believing. Even as I'm speaking, we've been up half the night praying over somebody precious to us who is in the ICU. Lord, just keep her life. Just help her. Lord, help her family. We pray, believing. Many times he answers us, but sometimes he knows something we don't know. It's not every prayer he will answer. You pray that they still gave you 40%. You have to write again. Are you in the church? I want you to tell your neighbor that your difficulty is not a reason to stop. Say it like you believe. I said your difficulty is not a reason to stop. You cannot come here and tell us that you are angry with God. You are angry with the person who holds your breath. Something's not right. Are you in the church? The guy was wounded, though, but he kept coming. At the end of the race, a journalist asked him, why did you keep running? Why did you keep running? After all, the race was already over. After all, we've already given awards. He had a very interesting answer. Do you want to know, hear his answer? He said, my country sent me 5,000 miles, not to start a race, but to finish it. God has sent you from heaven, from somewhere, not to just come and fool around and misbehave and mess up, but to finish your race. Everybody here, you have a race. Maybe you don't know. There's a reason why you came. And his plan is that you will finish it. That's his plan. Just finish. You may be limping when you finish. You may be crying when you finish. Are you in the church? I remember a morning I was the praise and worship leader in the church. And that morning, on my way to church, I had to go to my boss and tell him that the driver who had driven with us kilometer after kilometer had died. When I stood there leading praise and worship, tears were coming down my eyes. People thought that it was the spirit. It ain't no spirit. My heart was broken. God, how could you allow him to die? But, hey, you stop worshiping. You won't sing again. You will do what? You are very quiet. You are thinking of your nonsense, you see. Lord, I've been fasting and praying, but I'm not seeing anything. Keep fasting and praying. Keep fasting and praying. You are not God. You don't know what it is working. The guy, he finished the race. Today, he's on the internet. Are you on the internet, by the way? You, are you on the internet? Apart from your nonsense TikToks that you are you on the internet anyway? What are we remembering? This story I'm telling you is 1960 something, oh. Before you were born. Some of you, before even your parents were born. Yeah. But he's still there. They are talking about him. Why? He finished his race. What are people going to say about you? Matthew 10, verse 22. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. It's not just a matter of being saved, though. It's a matter. You see, otherwise the word endure will not be there. What does it mean to endure? Can somebody help us with dictionary? Dictionary meaning. You know, some people, the English teacher died early. They don't know. Who has a mic? Please just read it for us. Very, very fast. Endure. What's the? All right. Who is reading it for me? Stand and read. They are taking too long here. Just start reading, otherwise I have to push on. Yes.
Endure, to suffer through. To suffer through difficult, painful, unpleasant.
To suffer through.
Difficult, painful, or unpleasant situations.
You are not saying it well. Please say it again.
To suffer through difficult, painful, or unpleasant situations.
Read it again.
To suffer through difficult, painful, or unpleasant situations.
I need this Gen Z generation to understand that sometimes unpleasant things happen. Please, what were the words again? Unpleasant.
Unpleasant.
Uh-huh.
Painful. Difficult.
Difficult. Unpleasant, painful, difficult. Many of you are a spineless group of people. You see small difficulty, no, that's it. Small, the thing is painful, small. I'm failing the test because the physics I don't understand. Pull yourself together, get somebody to teach your lazy self and pass the exam. This chemistry that they have been teaching, Kwame, I don't understand. Maths is my problem. Your head like maths is your problem. Find somebody to help you on it. Set up overnight, work the questions, and pass the exam. And let me tell you something. When you don't pass it the first time, go and do it again. There's no fool like the fool who says, I've quit. You have quit what? Ask your, you have quit what? You have quit. You have stopped. You have stopped what? Hey! Are you in the church? Don't worry, we are in church. We are talking about backsliding. You see, people who don't make it to the end, they are signs. Yeah, they are signs. Last week, I gave you some. If you remember, what were the signs we gave last week? Irregular church attendance. Irregular. You go to church, but you don't... Irregular. You're not regular. It's a sign. You will drop off somewhere. Yes. What was the second one? Allowing the cares of this world. What are the cares of this world? Like what? Exams are inside. Okay. Poverty, financial, plenty. Then what? Allowing riches and blessings. Hey, but God is really having a hard time. Oh. Those who are having cares of the world, they say, hey, don't go. Those who are becoming rich and blessed too, they too, oh, man. Even when God has blessed you and you are a rich person, please, you are still following God and you are still worshiping Him. Are you in the church? Yesterday we were so blessed at our breakfast meeting. The preacher is somebody that I have known for over 25 years. Hey, maybe more. 30-something years. And when I knew him, he was a student like you. And up until today, he's a serious man of God. Up until today. But it will surprise you to know that he's the CEO of one of the richest companies in Kumasi. Yes, and he was there from the start of that company and they built it to the top. And he's still praising God, still worshiping God, still preaching. When we invited him yesterday and he came, when he finished preaching, we were chatting. I said, hey, I have to run. I said, where are you going? He's going to Accra to go and preach and come. He's not a full-time preacher. Yeah. He's the pastor of one of our largest churches in this town. Yeah. That's his story. And he's a wealthy man. Yes, God brought him from zero. Wealthy man. I've slept in his house before. Charlie, near a chain, 5-star hotel. He had some house be at a Kropong, Charlie. My only sadness was that it ended and we had to return home. Hey, were you on that journey? You were on that journey, Pa. You remember the house? Hey, please say it to the microphone for Lucy.
Mommy, I enjoyed myself like the hosting hey. Was A1.
The hosting was A1. The hosting was the food, A1. The food was A1. The rooms. Hey.
I even had a hard time waking up sometimes.
It was hard to wake up.
Very, very enjoyable.
Meanwhile, this is not his everyday household. That's the house in the town he comes from. The riches has not made him. It has not. In fact, yesterday at a point, he said, I've traveled. Now I can't go again. He said, I was supposed to go. Then he mentioned two places that you want to go. And he said, well, I won't go to this one. I'm going here. Hey! I'm still following God. I wonder what your story will be 25 years from now, 40 years from now. Will they be saying that you are still on it with God? Or would you have fallen off like a coward? That's somebody that... Don't let me say what I should. Today, you know, the last one. Okay, let's go. Number four. Desires for worldly things. We spoke about all this last week. And number five, coldness. You are just cold. You are just cold over the things of God. It doesn't move you. You are hot over football, hot over betting. But God, dear, you are cold. When you come to church, suddenly you have made yourself, you're just there. When they are singing, you are standing. Some of you, you stand as if you cannot even read words. Please, let's go. Hey, but it has to be in tree. It has to be in tree. But when you are dancing to Celine Dion, do you send her a message that she should give it to you? Make you not bring yourself over there. Push your neighbor and say, don't bring yourself. Today, I want to give you a few more symptoms of backsliding. Because you cannot see when you are backsliding. It's the signs that will show you. So today, I'm showing you more symptoms of backsliding. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. The first sign, bad company. When I see your friends, I can tell whether you are on the way out or not. Number two, not being a committed church member. Go, but you're not committed. I can take it or leave it. Number three, looking backwards. You are in church, oh, but every day. And when I was younger, I used to go to night club. Okay, number four. Having no spiritual ambition. I'm going to spend the next few minutes just unpacking these four things. So let's begin. The first one, bad company. Bad company. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Some of you, when your mother says, I don't like that, your friend, you better watch out. There's a reason she's saying it. Today, you are friends with somebody who has no goal in life. You have no goal. You also have no goal. You are friends with the person who is at the bottom of the class. How are you going to do well? That's your copper. That's your copper. That's your copper. The one at the bottom of the class, that's your copper. You're not going to do well. Hey! Notice, he didn't say that. He didn't say that you have to be a fool to be destroyed. Oh, the scripture. It says you are just companying with fools. Your friends are fools. Those around you are fools. Yeah. Are you there? When God heard what Adam was saying, he immediately knew that it's a bad relationship. He just heard. Because he came and Adam started to say some things. And God said, there's a bad thing. Who have you been with? Ask your neighbor, who have you been with? The person you have been with, it will show us whether you are correct or not. Ask your neighbor, are you correct? Hey, I wonder. Yeah. So I have a question for you this morning. I want you to ask yourself the question. Am I in the right squad? Am I in the right squad? Everybody has a squad. So let me define the right squad for you. Yeah, you belong to a certain group of people. If you are in the right squad, they'll make you go to church every Sunday. Do you have a card for Psalm 122, verse 1? Otherwise, I'll just read it for you. It says, Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Do you have such friends? Friends who say, let's go to church. You see, the way you're not able to answer the question worries me. Yeah. Let's go to the house of God. Let's go to church. Oh, let's go to the program. Oh, let's go to the... You know, I was so blessed today when people were just mentioning things that have happened to them when they came for the convention that we had with Bishop. But many of you, when the conventions are coming, you don't come. Have you seen that the only fool is you? And one of the reasons are the kind of people who are around you. What were you doing that day? What were you doing? A man of God has come who has been brought for a particular purpose. And I even told you the purpose for which I was asking him to come. And you can see that the purpose was fulfilled 100%. But you were sitting in your room. Most likely, you are either a fool or a friend of fools. The right squad. I'm showing you the characteristics of the right squad. The right squad talks about God and his word. Yes, God and his word. John chapter 15 and verse 15. Servants don't know what their master is doing, and so I don't speak to you as my servants. I speak to you as my friends, and I have told you everything that the Father has told me. When Jesus was walking, he had particular people. He called them friends, and they were talking about what the Father was going to do. What kind of friends do you have? What kind of friends do you have? There are some friends, when they come, you have to hide your Bible. That's not a good friend. Yeah. Some friends, you were praying, but when they come, you have to stop the prayer. Because they say, what was that? What was that? Your friend, the person who is around you, mocks your speaking in tongues, and the person is still around you. You are a fool. You are a fool. You are about to backslide. Yeah. You are about to see. You must have friends who, Charlie, they to their inside some. Yeah. The right squad stimulates you to do good things. Yeah, they make you do good things. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. What do your friends make you do? What do they make you do? Some of you, the only friends you have every time you meet, you're just talking about girls or talking about guys, or you're just. Some of you, when you entered the school, you were brainy, but now your brain doesn't even work because of your friends. The right squad does not stimulate you to do bad things. I want to read a certain scripture, and I'm reading it from a particular version, the TPT version. Now, the versions are just how the English is phrased, that's all. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. When peer pressure, and you young ones, I need to take note of this, compels you to go with the crowd and sinners invite you to join in, you must simply say no. No. You must simply say no. The greatest problem many young people face is the inability to say no. No, I will not have sex with you. And this one, I am talking to the boys. Because I have discovered of late that Delilah has multiplied herself. And Delilah is moving around and enticing young spiritual men. And then you also said, there's nothing I can do. I can't help myself. Hey, say no. She has come to visit you at 11 p.m. Don't open your door. She has come to visit you at 1 a.m. Why are you opening your door? Why are you answering the phone at 1 o'clock in the morning? What's wrong with you? No. No. Your friend comes and says, I want you to just taste it. Just taste it. It won't do anything to you. No. No. Look, I want us to go, you know, as we have come on campus, let's just go and see how it is. You know, that they are this thing that they have brought their bus. They say they are going to Accra, they are going to Jazz, and then we'll come back. What's the answer? No! No. I'm talking to somebody today. This no will actually save your life. Yeah. I'm describing your squad for you. And if your squad does not fit these parameters, it's time to change the squad. It's time to let them go. It's better to let go that squad of friends than to lose your life. The next one. The right squad does not live comfortably with sin. There's a very interesting verse in the English Revised Version, 1 Corinthians 5:11. You see, I've gone away from the King James simply so that you understand the scripture. You can read it and understand. And let me look at what they are saying. You see, Paul is a pastor. He's talking to his people in Corinth. I meant you must not associate with people who claim to be believers, but to continue to live in sin, of which there's plenty. Don't even eat with a brother or sister who sins sexually, is greedy, worships idols, abuses others with insults, gets drunk, or cheats people. Why? Because these are people who are comfortable with sin. Your best friends are a guy and girl living together. Unmarried but living together. Take a warning. They cannot be your squad. They cannot be your squad. They cannot. But, you know, I'm just working with them so that I'll bring them to church. Really? We have been waiting for you all this time. You couldn't even invite them to your friend is saying, after Sunday. Don't hype yourself at all. Don't fool yourself at all. Some of you young ladies, you are sleeping around today because of the friend you went with. Who told you that is the norm? Today, you are just a vulnerable mattress that's walking around room to room. You know, when we stand here and we give the examples, it's not an exaggeration at all. We are telling you what's actually happening. Yeah. What's actually happening. Yeah. Hey. Are you in the church? I'm showing you who your friends should be. The right squad brings you closer to God. Closer to God. Mark chapter 2 gives us a nice group of friends. Mark chapter 2 verses 3 and 4. You see, some guys were taking their friend. They heard that Jesus was around. Their friend was not well. When they got there, the crowd was too thick, so they couldn't even enter. But look at what happened. Four men tried to bring a crippled friend to him. The him is Jesus. But since the crowd prevented their carrying him close enough to get Jesus' attention, they climbed up onto the roof, opened a hole in it, and lowered the paralyzed man on his mat down to Jesus. That's the squad to have. They didn't just leave it and say, the room is full. The place is full. They didn't just do that. Yeah. I said they didn't what? No, it's as we have brought him, we must do our best. And the way the ceilings are made of those kind of tiles, they just move them and put him down through it. They didn't turn away. Your friends, what are they like? What kind of squad do you have? Bring you closer to God or further away? Further away. Where do they take you? Some of my favorite students, they are just students, but they are people who will text me and they'll say to me that, hey! My quiet time today, I saw a certain scripture. When I saw the scripture, I said this to me. Yeah, they are some of my favorite people. Because you, as you are there, empty bar, wound this scripture back home. Quiet time, don't know anything, nothing. But it's not that, a pastor. So what? Pastors, we don't have friends who. What are you talking about? Some too will just be telling me good things that God is doing in their lives. They talk about the difficulty when they're, but they just send and say, hey, God has done this. You know, I remember when we said this. What a squad. You keep having the squad and say, I've just discovered some new drink. If you add this combo, you add this and this together, it's a good drink to drink. What a friend. It's carrying you to nonsense. Let's continue. I was giving you more symptoms. So the second symptom we're going to look at, not being a committed church member. Some of you just come in and out. You are on a campus for over 4 years. You are not committed to any church. It's a problem. Yeah. Let me show you something. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 10. I just want to show you a certain scripture. God was speaking. He said, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them anymore as before time. What you don't know, there are some things you don't know about church membership. The first thing, you see, is that it's God who places you in the church. He chose the church for you. Yeah. He chose it for you. You thought you came because I heard of it, because I was passing. That's how he does his things. He has chosen a place for you. Now, you will discover that when you leave the place he chooses for you, you really struggle. You really, really struggle. Yeah. You really, really struggle. I know a lot of people who are not in church anymore because the place he put them, they say, I don't like. Yeah. And you must know, the second thing you must know is that church, your church is a place to be planted, not just to visit. Who is behind the thing and is so slow? The church does not belong to the pastors. Pastors, is the church for you? It belongs to who? The members. Yeah, it's not for us. As for the pastors, we are even transferable. Oh, yes. We are even transferable. Yeah. It's for you. The next thing I need to tell you is that you need to stop moving around. Yeah, holidays are around and some of you are going to go home. And then your sibling or even your mother, she's going to visit this random prophet. And you're also going. When you go, then when you fall into trouble there, then you now be sending me text. That way, I've not sent you to any random prophet anywhere. The church is very quiet. Please, what's the name of this church? Okay. I wasn't sure you knew the name of the church you are sitting in. Yeah. So commit. There's a way in which committing to a church ends affliction. Yeah, because do you know why you're afflicted when you're not in church? You are like a random moving whatever. Any animal that's moving on its own is in danger. A lamb walking on its own is in danger. Any animal, even the big ones on their own, they're in danger. Are you in the church? Recently, I saw a very interesting video. A lion had eaten and he had overeaten. He had overeaten, so now he was so heavy. The sad thing is that he was alone. And the hyenas were coming. He was not sick. He was not sick. He was not, nothing was wrong. But he was alone and he had eaten about 45 pounds of fresh meat. Yeah, he just killed him and he ate it alone. And now he couldn't move. And so he was lying flat there. And hyenas, they were coming. They were judged, you see. When they come, they don't come straight. They are trying to see whether, is he weak enough? Because a strong lion there, they can't put him down. But this thing lying there, alone. You want to be a Christian, you're not committed to anything, you are just roaming. They'll find you. Relationships that claim to have love without commitment will soon end. Are you there? Today I'm going to show you some. You know, because many of you are in non-committal relationships. And also, you are young people. And I need to show you something. Because I see people in relationships. 7 years, no commitment. 4 years, no commitment. No. Ah! What is that? Oh, mommy has just been giving me excuses. You are a silly girl. You are a silly girl. And then you are sleeping with him, washing for him, cooking for him. I need to tell you what somebody told his relatives. The relatives asked him why he had not married a certain young lady. And then he said, why should I buy the cow when I get the milk for free? Fair enough. The girl was warming his bed. She was living with him. She was cooking for him. She was doing everything for him. He was getting all services free. Why should he buy the cow when he's getting the milk for free? Yeah, commitment. The person is not committed. Let me give you some situations that you can face. Dinner without commitment. You think that because you are nice. And this one is for the girls. Dinner without commitment. Gifts without commitment. Let me just tell you something. A guy who's looking to sleep with you, he can pay everything and anything just for that opportunity. It doesn't at all mean that he's committed to you one bit. You think it's because you are nice, because something, because of your charm, because of none of the above. He just wants to sleep with you. And he doesn't mind what he's going to pay to get you. He has carried you to Dubai without commitment. You see, some of you are saying, I was here. When they told me of my church member who was being looked for, she was in Dubai. Without commitment. Have you ever been to your face? Hey! And you see, you are feeling so good. You come back and then you'll be showing the things to your friends. And he bought me this. And he bought me that. And we went to Dubai. It was very, very nice. And I saw this. I saw the Burj Khalifa. And then I went on the snow. And then we went to the castle. Really? Let me show you why he took you there. For sex without commitment. Yeah. Without commitment. Makarabasome shivatorobose. Hakarabaya. But real love, it goes with commitment. Yeah. It goes with commitment. Some of you, when you are there saying that, let's go and say, greet my parents. He doesn't want to go. It's a sign. She doesn't want to go. It's a sign. Oh, we don't really have to do the wedding, you know. We can just go, let me just take a drink to your parents. Is that how cheap you are? A drink? You're just a drink? You're just a bottle of schnapp? They will treat you like a bottle of schnapp in the house. You wait. Are you in the church? Taking a bottle of schnapp to your parents is very different from assembling the man's family and the woman's family. They all come to a place. They come with a certain respect. They introduce themselves. They say, we have brought gifts. They say, we are from here. We are from there. The woman, there's an exchange. That's when the commitment is beginning. But you must go one more step. Sign. 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 Are you in the church? You want to stop at the traditional. You'll be there when second wife will come. Because there is no shame. When you are traditionally married, a second wife is also lawful. It's only when you sign. It's only when you sign that it can be only one. Yeah. It's only when you sign. So every marriage that there's no signature, another person can come. And it will be legal. It will be legal. And it will be recognized. It will be recognized. And I need to say it because some of you, you see, you will think it doesn't matter. Until the day you have worked with a man and you have been successful and you have built the house and you have 5 children and the man passes away and suddenly there's another family. And then when you take the matter to court, they will tell you that your children and their children have equal rights. And he married her also under the traditional whatever. We are splitting all your hard work for nothing. You'll be there and don't sign. We are not saying that you have to do expensive white wedding. No. Don't misread me. I say you got a sign. Yeah. And in this church, you say that, oh, I don't want to do anything big. We will organize the office for you. Come and sign. Come with your mother, your father, his mother. Sign. Sign. It's a legal document. Sign. You say what? Oh, me, I want to go to KMA office, but I want you to bless. We'll come. When you finish signing, we'll pray over you right there. Sign. Don't joke with it. Please, it's not classes on marriage. We'll do that later. Please, let's move. It's just that I don't know where I'll get you again like this. So let me just say all. Yeah. Let me just say all. So that when the guy is not committed and he comes and he says that, no. Oh, we can just do this. Then you ask him. Then we sign. And if he says no, girl, you know what he's saying? You will work and somebody will eat it. Makaraba somet harabayanda. I know women, they don't even know whether their name is on the documents. Oh, Jesus. Because they were with somebody who was not committed. Yeah. And vice versa. They are women. They are not committed to the man at all. Recent statistics, just last week, 43% of all the paternity check tests turn up negative. 43%. Some people say they don't know what a paternity test is. They have taken the children to go and check. Is that the father? 43%. It's not the father. The man has been paying school fees, has been doing challenges, not his child. Let me do and finish. The next sign, we're almost done. Looking backwards. Let me read the scripture. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Luke 9:62. Jesus responded, "Why do you keep looking back to your past and have second thoughts about following me? If you turn back, you are not fit for God's kingdom." Yeah, you are in church today, then tomorrow you are not. The best example we have in the Bible is the example of Lot and his wife. Lot was fleeing from Sodom and Gomorrah. The place was burning. But his wife kept turning back to look at the place. Why? Why did she keep turning back? Because she was thinking her music that she has left. She was thinking her short skirts, her crop tops, her body, bum shorts, her body comes, her bracelets, she has left all. She was thinking about them. She was thinking about the boyfriends she had as she's walking through the town. She's a nice married woman, but they were whistling at her. She was thinking about her money that she has left in the bank. She was thinking about some alcohol, be some drink be that was in the fridge. She was thinking about the marijuana that she was smoking. She had just hidden it. She was thinking about her instruments of sin. The lady turned back. That story is not just a story. She turned back and she became a pillar of salt. What does it mean to be a pillar of salt? What does it mean to be a pillar of salt? It means useless. It means stuck. It means going nowhere. It means end of everything. That's what it means. You are here. You have given your life to Christ, but you keep on turning back. I used to enjoy it when we go here. I used to enjoy it when I'm with the boys. I used to enjoy it. I used to enjoy it. You keep looking back. You keep looking back. You're in danger. Hey, I'm showing you signs of backsliding so that when it happens, you can see. The last one, having no spiritual ambitions. Having no spiritual ambition. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, you see somebody like Paul. This is somebody who he has done so much, and yet he says, I don't feel that I've already arrived. I forget what is behind and struggle for what is ahead. One of the things God put into mankind is the ability to move ahead, the desire to move ahead. That's what he has put in us. Are you in the church? Yeah, he put it in us. That's why when you start school, you continue. Even though it's painful, you continue. It's that feeling of going ahead. And that's why when you stop moving ahead, it's a very bad sign. It's a sign that something that's not good is going to happen. Are you there? Yeah. And God wants you to move forward. In Exodus 14 and verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Speak to the children of Israel that they should go forward. They were in trouble. They were in a situation. But he said, go forward. Keep moving forward. You like going backwards too much. Keep going forward. Ask your neighbor, are you moving forward? Moving forward as in, do you have any spiritual ambitions at all? Some of you in the church, you are like somebody who is walking around in the hospital saying that, I want to be the mortuary man. There's no ambition like that. If you find somebody as a mortuary man, you know, I've told you this before. A mortuary man is somebody who circumstances and life have overtaken him, and that's all he can do. It's not that as he was growing up, he was aiming to be a mortuary man. A grave digger. Your plan is that you will dig graves. No. People do it, but they do because, Charlie, life has overtaken them. Yeah. But you are in the church, and your ambition is to be the mortuary man of the church. You have no spiritual ambitions at all. So you don't say to yourself that, I know how to pray for 15 minutes. I need to learn to do 30 minutes. Yeah. I can't fast. I have to try. Let me see whether I can do something. You are moving forward. Yeah. You're moving forward. Oh, I didn't used to go to church. Let me see whether I can go to church every Sunday for the rest of the year. Yeah, can you go to church every Sunday? The person is not in tandem with me. Are you able to spend time alone with the Lord? Are you in church? Are you able to bring somebody to you see, these are all signs that you are moving forward. You used to go alone. You used to come to church alone. Now you are able to talk to somebody, bring somebody. You are the reason somebody is going to hear about Christ. Then you are moving forward. What about you yourself leading a person to Christ? Sharing even how you met Christ with that person. Can you do it? Do you have an ambition to even learn it? It's a sign. It's a sign. Your friends are a sign. Do you do anything in church at all? Do you read anything at all? Do you study the Bible at all? It's all a sign. Are you in the church? What spiritual ambitions do you have? What spiritual ambitions? Our Father keeps on saying that, as you are young, test it out. Can I learn how to fast? 1 day fast. Then you wait for a while. 3 day fast. Then you wait for a while. 5 day fast. Wait for a while. 7 day fast. As far as I know, only one person or two people in this church have tried it. He said it. I know of only about two people. Why? Because you have no spiritual ambitions. You are just there, walking. You see, when you go to school without ambition, you don't score marks. Yeah. And some of you in SHS, you've started early. Already. You're off the race. Already. Then you think that, oh, it's by magic. I'll continue to do well. And you're in church. No spiritual ambition. You are in danger. Push your neighbor and say, you are in danger. Hey, push the other neighbor and say, you are in danger. I mean, I've been watching some of you just to sit down, listen to the word of God for 1 hour, cry. You can't. Yeah. You can't. You're lying on your friend. You have no spiritual ambition. Yeah. It's grown-ups in the Lord who can listen to the word. Hey. Push your neighbor and say, what's your ambition? What do you want to be for the Lord? What do you want to be for the Lord? What do you want to do for the Lord? My prayer is that if you've been here through this sermon, that you will not be counted among those who backslide. They are going to commit yourself to God. They are going to be in church and commit and do something and keep yourself going until the end. Difficulties may come and they will come, but keep going to the very end. Remember, it is those who endure to the end who shall be saved. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet this morning and just bow down your head. And today I want you to take stock of yourself before God. If as I was going through the things, you were saying, this one applies to me, this applies to me, then you better start talking to God about it. And start saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I didn't realize that it was like this. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Help me not to backslide, Lord. Help me to correct it at this time. May I not be a casualty before I become serious, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. Just talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord for a few minutes. Talk to the Lord.
Talk to the Lord this morning.
Talk to the Lord for a few minutes today. Say, Lord, have mercy on me.
Lord, have
mercy. May I not fall out?
Father, may we not fall out. Lift up your voice and pray. There's not a time to be looking somewhere. Concentrate and pray that, Father, have mercy on me. Father, have mercy on me. Don't look at my actions. Father, may I not fall out. Lift up your voice this morning. Are there Christians in the house? Lift up your voice and pray. Oh, yes. Oh, Father, may we not fall out. Heavenly Father, show us your mercy. Show us your mercy, oh Lord. Have mercy on us, oh Lord, according to your loving kindness. Oh Lord, have mercy on us.
May we not look back like Lot's wife.
Oh, yes. Oh Lord, may we not look back. May we not look back.
Oh, yes. Mashamana
mashemininea. And the breeze kapaya labashamana maninea. Heavenly Father, have mercy. May we not look back like Lot's wife. Heavenly Father, may we not fall out, Lord. Lift up your voice and ask the Lord. Oh, ask the Lord. Father, may we look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. Heavenly Father, may we not look back. May we not look back to the music, to anything that took us away from you. But Father,
talking to the Lord this morning, and we are saying,
and I'll just set aside the cares of this world. I'm gonna fall in love with you again. I'll just throw away the troubles of this world. Fall in love with you.
Morning, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you've not done that before, but maybe you have done it, but right now you're not so sure of your stand, and you're saying, I want to be sure. You better be sure. I say, Lord, I've gone so far back, I'm not even sure of my status at this time. I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus, to put your life in his hand. The Bible says that what you believe in your heart must be confessed with your mouth. Matthew 10:32 says it must be confessed before men. And you are here this morning. What an opportunity to come back to the Lord. You want to give your life to Jesus? Lift up your right hand for me this morning. You want to come back to Jesus. You're saying that, Lord, I didn't know so many things, but I want to come back. I want to come back and I want to be committed. If you have lifted your hand, just come up to me. Just come. Come and stand here right here this morning. Just come. Just come. God bless you as you come. There are others. You're just not sure of your faith. Just come. Just come. You're saying that I'm just coming one more time.
Set aside the case of this world.
Like that. Boom, boom, boom. Just step out. Just step out. Just give you 2 more minutes and we'll pray again. We'll pray together. We'll pray together.
And I'll fall in love with you. Fall in love with you again. And I'll just throw away the troubles of this world.
Standing in front here this morning, I just want you to pray this prayer with me. Make it your prayer. You just want to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. Join us if you're in the congregation. Help us. I come to you today as a sinner. Please wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from my sins. Please write my name in the book of life. Lord Jesus, please write my name. Help me to finish. At the end, may I be there. Help me to stand through it all. And may I never backslide. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIUDIASE. God richly bless you.